Blog Talk Radio.
Probably hear in my voice, I am super duper excited. I know this is going to be a difficult show, so I'm going to let you know ahead of time. It may step on some toes. It may not make people feel good afterwards. Some people might get mad at me. Some people may want to debate. And this show is not a debate. It's a discussion. And it doesn't matter how we feel about it, even Coach D, because it's from the Word. It's from the Word of God. Amen. And not saying that I have arrived, not saying that I'm perfect, not saying that I don't have my challenges. No, because what we're learning and what we should be evolving into is that we're understanding, even though some of us may have walked this walk and it's been a religion for us, and we've been walking this walk of religion for decades after decades. I believe that we are in the last days, and we have to come to a place of understanding that this walk is not about religion, but it's about relationship. Amen. So tonight I'm going to be talking about some things, and again, it may not feel good, but I pray that you would just hang in there, that you would listen, that you would just have an open mind when you're listening, and that even afterwards, if you don't feel comfortable about anything I said, because like I said again, I'm not perfect, just pray on it. Pray on it. Go to the Word for yourself and just see where the Holy Spirit leads you, what the Holy Spirit will show you or reveal to you. So we're going to get moving on with tonight's message. As always, or most of the time, or the majority of the time, I like to set a foundation for us to kind of go from. And so when I was meditating on this evening, in this week, actually, about this message, the scripture that came to mind for me was 2 Timothy. And I'm going to read the whole chapter 3. Now, again, we already know this is where people get bored when I start reading. They don't want to hear that. You know, they'll sign off, click off, go check on the roles, go, you know, go do something else. But hang in there. The word is the foundation. The word is the foundation. Everything else I say after the word, it could be speculation, it could be assumption, it could be opinion, but the word of God don't change. Amen. So I'm going to have you, if you want to turn with me, we're going to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read that, and then we're going to go from there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. I love King James. That's a version I normally read. King James, sometimes just because of the language barrier, it gets a little difficult for people who may not be as mature in the word. So I'm going to go with, again, with the English Standard Version. I like to go to the Message, which really breaks it down, but I'm gonna keep it in the ESV. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. excuse me. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecution I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continuing what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be complete and equipped for every good work. Father God, we thank you for your word that will go forth on tonight. Lord, you are invited in this studio. Have your way as only you can, Father. Father, I submit myself as a willing vessel to be used by you. I decrease that you may increase. Father God, bring forth a rhema word. Reveal to your people. Make it plain as day, Father, that even a child could understand, Lord, what it is that you would have us to know on tonight. Father God, I thank you for the word that will go forth. But Father God, I thank you for the transformation that this word will bring in our lives. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we just read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 17. And, you know, it was talking about in the last days. And, you know, and we know, and many of us believe that we are in the last days. But guess what? There was still some last day stuff going on in the days of Noah, in the days of Matthew, in the days of Luke, in the days of John. There was some last day stuff going on. And so it's nothing new up under the sun. Amen. But what I want to talk about on tonight, and the reason why this scripture came up, is because one of the things I want to focus on when the scripture tells us, it has, you know, when it speaks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I believe that was verse, let's see, where was that verse? Bear with me. But it talks about having a form of godliness and denying the power within. And so that really stuck out for me, and it comes hand in hand with what we're going to talk about on tonight. We all know that we have a, you know, which we all know through tradition that we have Easter coming up on Sunday, right? Now, many of us have been celebrating Easter our whole lives as little kids. Our parents celebrated, our parents' parents celebrated, and it just went from generation to generation of us celebrating Easter and being told that Easter, you know, we know for us as believers, we do believe if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, I have no doubt whatsoever that he is the Son of God. I have no doubt whatsoever that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe it in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that he came, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. That's what I believe. That's my belief system. Now, the important part here is that's what I believe. We're going to get into a lot of things tonight. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead me. I hope the Holy Spirit will lead you. But we're going to get into a lot of things. Now, if you was on my show last week or the week before last, for the last 2 weeks, it's really been getting into cultures and authority and traditions because I really have a burden. And I know God is going to lead me. He's going to direct me. He's going to tell me I have a burden right now. And my burden is, I mean, my burden is for the world as a whole, no matter race, creed, or any of that. But this heavy burden I have right now is for people, for my black people. I have a burden because there's so many of us falling away, and we're falling away because we are being deceived and we're getting confused. And what you mean, Coach D? I believe in my heart, and I'm asking God, Elohim, Yahweh, okay? I'm the one true living God. I'm asking him, Father, show me through your word, show me through your Holy Spirit. How can I minister to my people? How can I begin to help them and guide them through this, what they're going through? Now, I have listeners that's of every creed, every race that tunes in. And so this is, you know, with all due respect, I love you all, and I'm glad you're listening in, and I thank you for your continued support. But the one thing that I believe that everybody likes about my shows is that I'm very transparent, and I speak from my heart, and I speak from what I, if I have questions, I ask the questions, right? So right now, like I said, I have a burden, and I have a burden because what I'm noticing amongst my people, and I'm not saying all, I'm talking about generally, a lot of them have fallen away from the faith. They have fallen away because they've been deceived into believing that this book, this holy book that we read, that we believe to be the inspired word of God, is not. And they've been deceived to believe that this is a Anglo-Saxon religion that it came out of, you know, that they wrote the they wrote it to make it comfortable to them and their culture, that it was never meant for us or maybe other minority groups, and that's a lie from the pits of hell. And I believe that's a lie because if you really would take the time to read the Word of God, there's nothing in this book that I've seen that's not all-inclusive. What you mean, Coach D? All-inclusive means when I read this book and it talks about the love of Yahweh, it talks about the love of Yeshua, it talks about the promises of Yahweh, it talks about the benefits, everything that it talks about doesn't go back to a race. It doesn't go back to a religion. It doesn't go back to a gender. And so when I think about that, I'm like, well, how can you possibly think that this book was written strictly to keep, quote, black people, unquote, enslaved? I mean, because that's what they're believing. So they're falling away. So, and that's a burden for me. It really is it's a hard thing for me because that's another soul that's risking being lost for eternity, right? So, and I know, and I was talking to a friend today, and they were saying, well, I got to, you know, I'm a believer because that's what I was brought up to be, but I got a lot of questions. And we all got a lot of questions, right? So tonight, I believe that God's going to help us with some of those questions. I don't know what all the questions are, but for tonight, this was my question to God. You know, why are we so engaged with all these traditions and all this stuff that we get so caught up on, you know? And I think about Easter, and I think about Christmas, and I think about Halloween, and I think about all this stuff that believers, Christians, are participating in. And so I got to ask, why are we? Why are we participating in all this stuff? Because there's nothing about Easter in the Bible. There's nothing about Christmas in the Bible. And so I thought, okay, I did a study. Now, I'm just going to show you how the enemy is. I did a study, I would say, about 20 years ago. I had taught on Easter. I had taught on how Easter originated. And when I did that study 20 years ago, I was able to find stuff quick about Easter. None of it went back to the Bible. When I was studying about Easter, nothing referred back to the Bible. Do you know today that if you Google Easter, it will refer back to the Bible? It will give you scriptures. Nothing in those scriptures say anything about Easter, but it's now giving you scriptures. It even has come up with the why we use eggs and why the eggs are painted. I have never seen this before, but it's now and today, 2023, if you ask, why? What does egg got to do with Easter? It now tells you that it's symbolic for the burial and resurrection of Christ. That the egg represents new life, and the shell represents his tomb. Woo! This is what it says now. It didn't say that 20 years ago. So you see, things are going to change to be convenient for people. And tonight, that's what we're going to get into. We're going to start talking about, you know, the title of the show is El Shaddai, Your Reason Why. Why are you doing what you do? Did God tell you to do it, or are you just doing it because it's a tradition, because you don't want the family to get mad, because this is just what you do? If that's just what you do, that's fine. No condemnation here. But sometimes we as people do things that we don't understand what we're doing it, and we don't even know why we're doing it. So we're doing it out of ignorance. And to be ignorant is okay. Ignorant means I just don't know. But once you know better, you should be doing better. And because you're on this show tonight, the I believe that God has you on this show. Some of you are just my followers, and you're going to be on the show every Thursday night. Many of you. Some of you, somebody invited you to the show. Some of you just might have, you know, you see the flyers going forth. You see it. You say, well, you know what, tonight I'm going to tune in. And I'm not going to portray to be a theologian, but I am somebody that will read the word, and I will read the word of God, and I pray, and I'm asking God for understanding. I'm asking God to reveal to me. I'm asking God constantly for his rhema word. Rhema word is when it's the perception. You know, what is it that you're saying, God? I don't want the letter. You know, people are getting caught up in the letter, and people are leaving, the belief, and it's a sad day. It's a sad day. But I want us to understand why we do what we do. First of all, we have to understand that God, you know, that one of our commandments, you know, the Ten Commandments were the laws, right? And one of our commandments is idolatry. It's a sin. Idolatry is a big thing. If we read through the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament until today, God is against idolatry. He's against idolatry. How do we know? Some things came to mind as I was studying. You know, first of all, let's think about Solomon. Solomon, you know, was the richest man in all the world. And the only thing that Solomon asked for, he didn't ask for money, he didn't ask for riches. Solomon asked for wisdom. And he earned favor with God. But guess what Solomon's downfall was? You know, in Deuteronomy 7, I'm not going to read it, but I'm just telling you where you could go to read about Solomon. Deuteronomy 7, the root cause of Solomon's downfall was his marriages to many pagan women who led his heart astray from Yahweh. So that was his downfall, because he loved women. And the women that he was choosing was women that were pagans. And they began to practice their own beliefs, their own religion. And this is going to sound familiar because it's happening today. But they began to practice their own beliefs, their own religion that was full of probably witchcraft and all kind of stuff. It wasn't giving God the glory. And they began to practice this stuff. And because he was marrying them, guess what? Solomon loved God. At least he believed he loved God. But then Solomon was serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? But then maybe Solomon had an altar for God. But then over here, Jesus, over here, he wanted to, you know, maybe he wanted to burn some sage. I know some folks going to get mad. Maybe he wanted to worship some crystals. The other day, I seen they were advertising a Christian Ouija board so people could speak to God. Lord Jesus. You see what I'm talking about? And you will have Christians who say they love God, but they will go buy that. You will have Christians that will go to a psychic and get their palms read. You will have Christians that read horoscopes every single day. So this horoscope could tell you, because you was born on this day and because you this sign, that if you walk outside tomorrow, you might die. So this is Christians that's doing this. So we was a lot like Solomon. There's nothing new today than it was back then. Solomon said he loved God, but Solomon was torn. He was double-minded. He had one foot on, okay, I want to love God, but the other foot is, but I love these women. And you know, it's just no different than Eve giving Adam the fruit. You know, here, try this. Here, taste this. Here, do this. And if we're not careful, me included, we'll get caught up doing stuff that's against God, that's not giving God the honor or the glory. Then we could go to Samson. Samson, you know, no different. Samson, his fall was, again, a Palestine woman. And this Palestine woman, we know, everybody know about Delilah. She was alluring. She was seductive. You know, she began to operate in some paganistic stuff. She began to put a spell on him and fell up under her seduction and her wiles and causing him to reveal. Now he's all smitten by her. He sprung is what we call it. You know, this is what we call it in today's day. He sprung his nose wide open for this woman. She didn't seduce them. So now he sprung, and he gave up his secret. That was his fall. What did the Israelites do? I'm just giving you a little history. We're going there. Hang with me. What did the Israelites do? Here God takes the people, deliver them from Egypt. He sends a deliverer. And in that case, for them, Moses was their savior. He sends a savior to deliver them out of Egypt, out of enslavement, get them out of there, make sure he provides for them. They have food every day. They didn't lack nothing. I still to this day wonder, what did they put on their feet? So they were in the desert for 40 years. But then, you know, we learned that Moses go to the mountaintop to get the laws. He go spend some time with God to get the laws. But then when he come back, what the people was doing? We learned that the people have begun to start idolizing. They had begun to start worshiping at the help of Moses' brother Aaron. They built a Canaanite idol, which was the calf. You find that in Exodus chapter 3. But they began to idolatry. And then God was so displeased and angered with idolatry that the punishment for idolatry was severe in the Bible, in the Old Testament. It was very severe. And I don't believe it's just in the Old Testament. I believe today when we look around the world, because this idolatry is heavy in the world. There's so much that's been idolized. And I believe we see so much death and destruction. And I wouldn't even doubt if, because it says that in the punishment for idol worship in the Bible, historically the punishment for idolatry was often death. And it says that the Bible describes the ancient Israelites, despite being strictly warned not to do so, he warned them and continued to warn them repeatedly not to engage in idolatry. And so that's why his punishment was so severe. And then I hear people talking about, well, God, don't blame this on God. But could it not be? This is just something to make you say, Could it not be that the things that we're seeing now, that the destruction, the disease, the disorder, the climate, all of this stuff that's chaotic, could it not be that it's a severe punishment for our idolatrous ways, that we always looking for something? Always looking for something else to fill the void. We always looking for something. When God is not giving us what we think we need, we always looking for something else to fulfill that need. Idolatry. Social media, idolatry. Even our cell phones, idolatry. Oh, Coach D, come on now. But we taking things too lightly. There's no reverence no more for God. And we're doing whatever we want to do. And God is not, he's not pleased. So his punishment was severe. So you know what an atheist is. An atheist does not believe in God. A monotheism is the belief in a single, all-powerful God. That's what we are. When we say that we're believers, Christian, which is Christ-like, that's what we're saying, that we believe in one God. We believe in God. Well, Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we're saying we believe in one God. We don't believe in multiple gods, but it's only three belief systems in the world that function like that, and that's Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Forgive me, you guys, my mouth is getting dry. So those are the three that function in monogamy, just single. It's a single. They believe that God is God. Now, they get into different things from there because the issue with those three religions is the New Testament, basically, versus the Old Testament. And even, I think, Judaism, they do believe in the New Testament as well. But anyway, that's not what tonight's show is about, but I'm just showing you that where we're going with this. But a lot of other belief systems believed in multiple gods. Now, the Roman Catholics, the Roman Catholics adopted Christianity A.D. 380, so after Christ, B.C.B. So they adopted Christianity. Now, this is the problem. This is important right here. I want you to hear this. They adopted, so that means in order to adopt something, something had to already exist, right? So Christianity already existed. And we know that that was what the pagans called people that followed Christ. So I don't want to get into the details of that, but that's what they called them. They was like, those are Christ followers, those are Christians. But that belief system was adopted by the Romans, after the fact, right? So that means that it already existed. It already existed in that region, and then it was adopted. So this is going to kind of get into where a lot of people want to take the Bible, and it's almost like throwing a baby out with the bathwater. And you're going to understand why I say that. Because a lot of people are taking the Bible and they're throwing it out. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in this. It's just a bunch of stories. It's just a bunch of myths. I got history. History proves. Only thing history is proven is continents. It's proven, it's proven some things that's proof, that it's proof. But what does the color of and the culture of a person got to do? Really, it got to do with God? What it got to do with what's true? That's true, too. I'm a black woman. That's the truth. That's a fact, right? But I also have a spirit. That's a fact. So just because I'm a black woman and that's true doesn't take away the truth that I'm also a spirit. I hope you get where I'm going. I'm hoping I'm not losing you. And that's what people are doing. They want to be black, and they feel like because they're black, then they can't be this. Because I can't be this. Now, the Romans adopting this belief system and then infiltrating it with whatever their idolatrous ways are, that has nothing to do with who God is. God is still God. God is still on the throne. God is still going to do what he do. God's word is still the truth. Regardless of how people want to interpret it, regardless of what people want to do with it, regardless of, what we begin to see in the Western world, where we see and this is a big deal for people, where they see the white Jesuses and the white disciples and different things, and now they're just all bent out of shape because they feel like they're trying to feed us this. But it's so funny because when you begin to mature in the things of God, you don't even see a color. You begin to see it's a spirit. God is a spirit. And in the word of God, he said he's looking for people now. In this day and time, he's looking for people that will worship him. But he said they're going to have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And you can't worship him in spirit and in truth if you're still stuck on what you see with your five senses. If you're still stuck on what you see, what you hear, you're not going to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And what you're going to do, you're going to walk away because you're feeling like somebody's trying to push something down your throat that doesn't fit you. And now you can get caught up in another lie and belief system. Because now you guess what's becoming what you're idolizing now? You're idolizing history instead of God. So it's nothing wrong with history. It's nothing wrong with knowing history. It's none of that. I mean, there's truth in history when you know the history. And I understand that there's been a history of not just one people, but there's been other people whose history is missing that hasn't been revealed, that's not taught in school. Ours is one, but there's others that history hasn't been told. There's a lot of things we're learning, and we have the resources and the technology now to find out all kinds of things. But my history it doesn't have nothing to do with who I worship. Because God was before all. The creator of heaven and earth, he's the creator. So unless you just don't believe in God, I get it. You don't believe in God, then ain't nothing I'm saying gonna make sense. So how do you go from believing in God and believing in the goodness of God and knowing all the stuff that God, because there are some people I know that have turned their back away from what they believe is a white man's religion. But even with them turning their back away from the religion part, they're turning their back away from God. But they say they're not, but yes, you are. Because now you're idolizing something because it seemed right. It feel right. It looked like, because I think it looked like me. Because I think it looked like me. And then I'm turning away from what was originally my foundation. And if this is originally your foundation and you have a relationship with Christ, then it's the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us once we accept, right, Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then it activates what? The Spirit of God inside of us, the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, right? So the Spirit of God is what gives us revelation. So if you're reading something and it don't bear witness with the Spirit of God, then it don't bear witness. And you'll know it don't bear witness. You'll know. But it's supposed to bear witness. I do believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Is there books missing? Yeah, I believe that too. I believe historically we know that it's books missing from out of here. Can some translations, one word could change something? Yes. We know that. I know if I told you I'm going to the store or I went to the store, same sentence, one word is changed, going and went. Changes the whole sentence, right? We understand that. But that's why it's important to have a personal relationship with God so that God could reveal to you what was meant by that. Thus, why I'm always praying for revelation knowledge. Thus, why I'm always praying for a rhema word. So I could be clear. I want to be clear of what are you saying, Lord? What does this really mean? Okay, this was translated. But in the translation, did I miss something that you need me to get? It's the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and brings all things to our remembrance. Not the letter. And when we get caught up on the letter, the word of God tells us that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But the Spirit gives life. We do understand that when this belief system was adopted by the Romans, Anglo-Saxons, when it was adopted, that they made it look like them. They made it fall into their tradition, their ritual, and so many other things. And we get that. So you have to know that. But that doesn't take away from this. This didn't originate there. This didn't originate in Rome. It didn't originate with the Romans. That's not where the Son of God was born. That's not what his makeup was. We know his DNA was God, but he was born to an Israelite. He was born, you know, his mom. So we know that that's not it. So we know now, or we should understand now that yes, Rome had a form of godliness, but it was denying the power within, right? So now let's get to Easter. All of this, I'm laying the foundation so we can understand how this stuff came about. Why are we doing this? What does it mean to us? You know, is it, you know, Is it important we know this stuff? I think it is. You know, so now we understand as believers or Christians that they you know, Easter is supposed to be a representation of the resurrection of Christ. But if we really study Easter, if we study what it originally came from, it was a pagan holiday. It was a pagan holiday that we started to make it look like us. You know, the Romans or whoever they begin to copy us. They begin to copy what God had already done in His Word. So it's almost like you read a good book. Well, this is a good book, but then you start forming it to fit you. Or let's say you get a recipe. Your great-grandmother gave you a recipe. And, I mean, the recipe, everybody love it. It's to die for. It's good. But then you figure, oh, I'm going to tweak this because I'm going to put this in there. And I'm going to put that in there. And I'm going to do this. So you start changing up stuff. And then the recipe starts slightly changing. But you never knew that maybe why grandma put this in there was for a particular reason. Something just came to mind as I was saying that. I was always told as a little girl, when you cook your food, you had to keep your food out. You had to keep it out on the counter and let it cool down before you put it in the refrigerator. I was always led to believe that you did that because if you put it in there while it was hot, you would cause the food to go bad. So guess what? At 50-some years old, I found out that that's not the case. It doesn't cause the food to go bad. But if back in the day, they didn't have the modern technology of refrigerators. They had ice boxes. What you mean, Coach D? It was a box that you got ice delivered every day. The ice would go up in there, and that's what helped keep the food cold. So if you was to put hot food in there, the heat from the food would begin to cause the ice to melt, and it would make all the other food warm, which would not keep it good. Well, if it was already cooled down when you put it in there, then you don't have to worry about the heat from the food causing the rest of the food and the ice box to go hot or go bad. But all these years, us thinking, oh, well, you don't want your food to go bad, don't put it in the refrigerator hot. Not understanding. I was reading something a couple of weeks ago. We learn these traditions and we learn these rituals and we learn these things and we don't even know why we do what we do. We just do it. And I think I told a story, you know, about 20 years ago. I had a coworker I worked with, and she was Catholic. And when it would be Ash Wednesday, you know, the job would let people who was Catholic, you know, they would let them have an extended lunch so they could do it or go do Ash Wednesday or, you know, whatever the traditions were. And so one day she got a long lunch and she came back. I was her manager. And I said, so you went? She said, yeah, I could see the ashes on her forehead. And I thought, ashes, nothing disrespectful. I just wanted to know. So why you do that? She said, girl, we do it. We do it on this day. My mom and them, all of us do it on this day. I said, okay, I know when you do it, but why do you do it? And she said, well, my grandmother do it. We do it. You know, that's what we do. That's what Catholics do. And I said, that's strange. That's what you do, but you don't even know why you do what you do. I said, there's nothing wrong with what you do, but don't you need to know why you do what you do? And she didn't know. And it dawned on me, many of us go through life doing stuff because it's tradition, because it's ritual, and we do it, and we don't even know why we do it. We just do it. We've been celebrating Easter all of our lives, never realizing that it, you know, yeah, it says, is the, you know, we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. I mean, that's what I would like to believe. But then we're doing that, but then what does that have to do with eggs and dye and all this other stuff, you know? But what we'll find out is that Easter was a pagan holiday, you know, and it was the goddess Esther. and she was the goddess of spring and fertility. So the eggs represented fertility, you know, and the bunnies, you know, well, the original study I found is that her, the bunnies had to do with her son likes bunnies, you know, and then, it, you know, it gets into the coloring of the eggs and so forth. And, you know, so it had to do with some Greek, mystical thing about spring and reproduction and all this kind of stuff. But then I later find out after studying is that in the Bible, the name Esther was a queen. She was the wife of Nimrod. And if anybody remember Nimrod back in Genesis, he was the nephew of Noah. He was the evil. He was evil. The evil, not nephew, but great-grandson of Noah. And so, and that was his wife. And Nimrod, if you remember, he built all these major cities, the city of Babel, Ashur, Nineveh. Remember the city that Jonah didn't want to go to, Calah, all of these cities, what they all had in common. They all were known for their evil and unimaginable worship practices and perversions, idolatry, lust, all this stuff in all those cities was known. These are the cities that Esther and Nimrod built. All not good cities. All idolatry. And when I thought about that and I was reading, I said, wow, look at us today. Look at the things we're looking at. You know, we're looking at things. We're watching TV. We're seeing awards. We're seeing Grammys. We're seeing, you know, Super Bowl performance. We're seeing all this stuff, and people think, oh, that's just some old Christians again. They always want to call something evil. They always want to say the devil did. They always want to do this. They always want to do that. People, the stuff is real. It ain't even subtle no more. It's there. I know many of us don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear this stuff. You know, I don't want to hear that about Easter because I just bought me a new outfit that I want to wear to church. Forget what Coach G talking about. See, that's what I'm talking about. The Christians always got something to say. It's more persecution going on with believers now, just like it was then, but much more. Because people don't want to hear the real stuff. People don't want to hear because guess what? We're comfortable with it. We've been doing it. Don't be so rigid is what I'm being told. Oh, the kids, Halloween. Oh, the kids, we just doing it for the candy. And I think that's the most dumbest reason to be celebrating a demonic day, the biggest demonic day of the whole year, Halloween, and you just doing it for the candy, but you won't go into the devil's playpen just to get some candy. You want some candy? Go to Walgreens. Go to CVS. Get a bunch of bags of candy for the kids and bring it home. But another thing, even when I was reading this and it was talking about these pagan holidays, even with Christmas, you know, that had to do with another, you know, thing. That was a pagan celebration for the harvest, you know, for the winter, you know. The Easter was one for the spring. So all these little pagan holidays that we didn't dress them up to make them look cute and make them look like something that you know, that's gonna, we could get away with. And the same thing with Halloween. Pretty soon, they'll find a scripture to support that. Because now we as Christians call it Hallelujah Night. We call it Fall Festival, you know, but it's going to be on Halloween night, right, when all the demonic spirits, if you believe in that, because if you believe in God, you got to believe in that they're spirits. You got to believe that. Just like we got a good God, we got an evil. There's good and evil in the world. So if you believe in God, you got to believe in the devil. You have to. Now, you don't have to have this belief system. Not trying to convince you of that. But this is what it is. This is it. So if you believe in God, you got to believe that there's another entity. And their spirit. And the enemy is not, he can't read minds. He can't even be everywhere at the same time. Only God can. But he could use people. He could use bodies. He has demonic spirits that he has to use to operate on his behalf. He has an army, right? So to be able to go and do the work that he wants them to do. So we got to be careful that we're not okay with the okey-doke. I'm talking about if you're a believer. We can't keep being okay with the okey-doke. We can't buy what everybody's selling. We can't buy what everybody's selling. And I know people say, well, you didn't boss on somebody's soul. You bought this slave master mentality, this slave master religion. It was given to you to keep you enslaved, you know, the white people, or live in heaven on earth. I don't see no white people living heaven on earth. I don't see that. What? Why would you say that? Because they're not getting shot. Not all of them. Because what? Because you think they got money? What is it? What is it that you see that they're living heaven on earth? I think that I'm living pretty decent. So to keep going on and perpetuating that lie about what you think this is, but you ain't really reading it. And most people that talk like that, what I find out is they're not reading the word. They're not getting into the word of God. They're not reading it. And if they do read it, they're not understanding it. Why? Because this Bible is just a book with words. And what makes these words powerful and what brings these words to life is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And if the Holy Spirit ain't activated inside of you, then this is just a book. And that's why you could get so discombobulated with what you think this book is. Because you're not functioning with the Spirit of God inside of you. Gives you the revelation knowledge that you need. Because if you have the revelation knowledge, then you will realize that there's nothing damning about what's in this book. This book is about a story of redemption, especially the Old Testament. It's a story of redemption. It's a story telling us that we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it on our own. We'll never be perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And because of what he did for us by sending his son, then that's going to help us walk this walk. But the whole goal to the law was for us to realize that we couldn't fulfill it and that we needed a Savior. Why would you say that that's for a white person or Indian person or Hispanic person? Or, you know, why would you think that? That's for every person. No, don't matter what color you are. This book is full of promises for people who believe. So if you don't believe, that's one thing. But don't criticize the people who do believe. This the word of God for many of us has been the saving grace. You know, how many of us give testimony after testimony about situations that we've been brought out of through prayer and supplication, the power of prayer? How many of us have been in the presence of God and have experienced his presence and have experienced him telling? We all say, well, something told me. If you're a believer, it ain't something telling you. That's God telling you. Something told me not to go that direction. I'm sure glad I didn't go, because when I looked at the news, it was a major accident. That wasn't something that, if you're a believer, that was God telling you. The Holy Spirit of God told you, Don't you go. Don't you go to that. You better not go to that party. And then you find out three of those people got shot. The Spirit of God will tell you, you better not sleep with her. You better not mess with him. You know, that's the Spirit of God. That ain't something that told you that. That's God telling you. He's telling you. He's keeping you. He's covering you. And he's expecting for us to be obedient to what he's telling us. When he tells us something, we're supposed to hearken. And what his word said, in Deuteronomy 28, when we hearken diligently to all that he commands us to do, then blessings overtake us. blessings where we bless in the city, bless in the field, bless coming and bless going. We become the lenders and not the borrowers. You know, we think that just sound like some cute cliches and some things, but this word is real for many of us. We've seen the manifestation of the word in our lives. And so because we're believers, we know that God's word is real, then we better know that his word is real, and God is not okay with idolatry. He don't care how you paint it up, how many bows you want to put on it, how you want to attach it to a scripture. Ain't nothing in the scripture talk about Easter. Ain't nothing in the scripture talk about Christmas. Don't show nothing in the scripture talk about Halloween. Ooh, Coach, do you being harsh. There's going to be some truth coming forth in these last days. People are going to speak some truths, and either we're going to believe them or we're not going to believe them. And I'm not telling you to believe the person. Forget me. I'm not nobody. Forget me, but you better get in that word. Figure it out. Lord, what are you saying? I heard what that lady said on her show, and she sounded kind of harsh about it, and I don't believe her. Get it. Go pray. If he's your God, go pray. Ask him for revelation. Lord, what does this mean? What are you telling me? You on this show tonight. You hearing this word. You're hearing this word tonight. So what is this? What is it? Why do we have you? Don't you know that nothing in our life happened by happenstance? Everything that happened in our life happened for a reason. Even with you being on this show tonight, God knew you were going to be on this show tonight. Now, whatever you get out of the show, that's between you and God. Because I'm going to have to be held accountable for anything that I say on the show. And again, I don't confess to be a theologian. But I do have enough, I have enough sense to know how to read the word of God. I know how to go in here and read his word. And I know how to be still in his presence. And I know how to seek him for wisdom and guidance. And I know how to go to him and repent when I get too far out of line. I invite people, you know, my show's been going for over, I keep saying 8 years, but yes, 8 years now. It's been going for 8 years. I've been doing this for 8 years consistently. I've had sabbaticals where I may have stopped for a couple of months, but overall I've been consistent doing this show because my heart's desire is for people to process through life's pain. My heart's desire is for people to be able to have a platform that they could come to and that they could hear transparency. Because so often we go and we sit places where people portray to have it all together. So if I'm going somewhere and this person is portraying to have it all together and I don't, then I feel like I'm not even at the right place. But nobody has it all together. Even when they look like they have it all together, nobody has it all together. We're all struggling. We're all struggling. We're all should be studying to show ourselves approved. We all, like Second Timothy said, you know, and Second Timothy is telling us that, you know, this is the word, this Bible, this is the inspired breath. This is the breath of God. And that all scriptures are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So it said you can't do no good work apart from this. And even God says it's impossible to please him without faith. And then we hear, if it's impossible to please God without faith, well, dang, how do I go buy me some faith? You can't buy it. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we got to get into the word of God in order to increase our faith. So if your faith is weary right now, you're going through some trials and tribulations, you're going through some stuff, because guess what? In this life, there's going to be trials and tribulations. We're going to go through pain. We're going to miss the mark. All kind of stuff. We're going to suffer in this life. That's what's going to happen. And sometimes we will cause our faith to get weary. But the word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that means we just have to, when our faith is weary, we need to get more into the word of God. We need to get more into the word of God. And I don't know where this word will take many of us, what this word will mean to us as we go move forward. You know, do we continue to submit ourselves to tradition, religion, and ritual? You know, because I know for my family, Christmas is a big tradition. It's a family tradition. You know, my family come together. It's a big deal for the elders, you know, to do this, to do the Christmas thing. And you get stuck doing stuff for years and you don't want to disappoint nobody and you don't want nobody to feel bad and you want to respect your elders and everything. But God is saying, when you going to start respecting me? When you going to start respecting me? When you going to start doing what I tell you to do? When you going to understand that even something that simple is disobedient? Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray that this word has penetrated. Father God, that it has been transformational. Lord, I know that it was tight, but it's right. Father God, we know that you are calling your people, Father God, to step it up. Father God, for us to step it up. Lord, for us to be obedient to the things of God. Father God, you desire a relationship with us, an intimate personal relationship with us, not religious, Father God, not rituals, not tradition, but an intimate personal relationship. Father God, you didn't come to condemn the world, but that you came that the world through you could live, Father God. Father God, I thank you that you say that you've given us life and you've given us life abundantly. And Father God, that you want us to be free, Father God. But we just say thank you, Father God. Thank you that there's liberty in Christ Jesus. We thank you for your word, that this word is for all people, anyone who believes, Father God, no matter their race, no matter their gender, Father God. We just say thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is power, that it has life. And Father God, that you watch over your word to perform it, that it shall not return unto you void. I thank you, Father, for each and every person that's listening in on tonight, Father. Father God, I pray that you would touch them in ways that they have never been touched. Lord, that you would remove any scales from their eyes, that they may see what thus said the Lord. Father God, I pray that you would bless them for those who are struggling in their health, for those that may be struggling financially, struggling with whatever the trial and tribulation is, Father God. I pray that you may just bless them, Father God, for we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they could think or ask. So, Lord, we just say thank you. We thank you that you are God and you are God alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you tonight for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Again, I knew when God was telling me to go in this direction, this is not always the message that many of us want to deliver because it's controversial for many. It steps on people's toes. It messes with what's comfortable for them. It provokes them to come out of their comfort zone. It provokes them to have to change the way they think, you know. And it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. So, people don't want to hear it. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear it. I'm sure many people have walked out the studio on tonight. I've seen them walk out the studio. I'm sure many people have dialed off of their, if they're listening online. Because this is not a comfortable message. Why? Because we don't want to know. Because the thing about knowing, the word of God says, to he who knoweth sin and do it, to him is sin. You know? But when you know, you know. And when you know, he's holding you accountable for what you know. And many of us don't want to know some stuff. Why? We don't want to know because we don't want to stop doing what we do. We don't want to stop doing what we do. So it's better not to know. I just don't want to know. So I'm just going to stick my head in the sand. So anyway, we know that God is faithful. We know that he's a faithful God. We know that he is a forgiving God. We know that he loves us and it's not his desire that any of us should perish. So I just thank him for his grace sufficient and his mercies new each day. And next week, I'm going to let you know ahead of time so you can make a decision if you want to know. But next week, we're going to get into this area of grace. We're going to be coming from Romans 7, and we're going to get into the area of grace. What does that mean? Does grace give us a license to do whatever we want to do? Because after all, God will forgive us, right? We're going to talk about that next week. Anyway, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight, and I look forward to being with you on next week, next Thursday, same time, same place. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Good night.